Hello, and welcome to Love and Lead, a conversation on parenting kids in a rapidly changing world. Whatever stage of parenting you are in, littles, school years, teenagers, or even adults, we're here to encourage and support you in practical ways as we explore both the opportunities and challenges that arise. To introduce myself a little, my name is Becky, and I will be hosting this podcast. I was widowed when pregnant and have been a single parent through to my current stage of empty nesting. I am an associate pastor and oversee the student ministry at Des Moines Vineyard Church for ages 0 to 18, and meet my co-host, Jean.
Hello, so happy that you could join us. I'll introduce myself a little bit as well. My husband and I gave birth to one child, and then we adopted three more children, each with special needs. I've been a special education teacher in the public schools, as well as a homeschool teacher for my own children. I've had the great honor of being a children's pastor for about 20 years, and now I'm an associate pastor at the Vineyard Church of Davenport, while also enjoying grandparenting and our empty nest. Now you might be wondering, why another parenting blog? There's already a lot of good ones out there. And here's our answer. Because parenting can be difficult, and no one person has all the answers. Our prayer is that as we journey together, each of our lives will become richer as we seek to become the parents, the men and women that God intends for us to be. We chose the name Love and Lead because that's how God the Father parents us. First, He loves us, then He leads us. We'll be regularly asking ourselves this question: where am I being loved and led by God? The answer to that question can create a pathway for our children as well.
So thank you for joining us, and we invite you to take this journey with us. It's mid-August and back to school. Once your kids hit preschool, your life pretty much begins to revolve around the academic calendar. And we approach it as the beginning of a new year, and really in a lot of ways it is. Over the next 6 weeks, we'll be exploring an invitation to the rhythms of life. And what are the healthy life rhythms for you, for your children, and your family? We'll cover topics such as schedules, transitions, and even anxiety. We invite you to visit our blog, loveandleadparenting.com. We will be posting there and hope to hear from you as we journey together. Matthew 6:33 in the Message reads, "Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met." God is here. He's at work to love and lead you as you in turn love and lead your kids. As this podcast helps or encourages you, we invite you to like it, share with a friend. Let's get started. Welcome to Love and Lead. This is Becky, and this whole thing, podcast idea, really came as a surprise, and I feel like an invitation from God through a couple different prayer and planning times. I was thinking about the parents in my church, my friends, and the world we live in, and how do I resource them and equip them? And actually, my brain first went to what type of workshop or what type of conference do we need to hold? And in the midst of that, this idea of how about just a simple little podcast that gives nuggets to people a little bit all throughout the whole year, things that hopefully you could get your arms around and actually implement and do that you might find helpful. And so that's the beginning of it. When I actually felt that come back to me, I returned my question to the Lord. And I said, well, if this is an invitation, who's going to do it with me? And my good friend, Jean Street, was the first person that came to mind. And so reached out to her. We began to have conversations and actually just a lot of fun around this, talking about what we've learned, and hopefully we can just extend a little bit of that to you and invite you to come along as well. So as we get started, the first invitation that really stood out to both of us was the rhythms of life and just how life does have rhythms. And that actually was something I learned it probably in my 30s, that rather than trying to, you know, come up with my own plan and making everything perfect, when I began to realize, oh, life has rhythms, and how old is my child and what fits this rhythm or this time of year, it just really was helpful. And so that's what we want to explore over the next 6 weeks. We're going to have a topic kind of each time as we go along about rhythms of life and what's your invitation. As we get started though, Jean, I thought it would be fun just to ask you, what is some of the best parenting advice you've gotten over the years?
Oh, that's such an interesting question. I think one of the reasons I was anxious to accept your invitation to do this podcast was I don't feel like I was given enough advice when I was raising my kids. As I said, we gave birth to one child and then we adopted these three kids with special needs. And I just kind of felt in a fog. I was lost so much of the time and kind of wanting somebody to say, Jean, do this, do number one, and then do number two. And I didn't ever have that. I did have some good advice. It was very precious for people to tell me, just cherish each stage because childhood is so short. And before you know it, your kids are going to be grown. Now, that was helpful, but it didn't give me any practical advice for what to do to make them stop yelling at me.
Yes.
Those days when nothing goes right, I thought, what can I find to cherish about this stage? And it was hard, but I think in retrospect, thinking about it, even in this minute, it was helpful to have that idea planted in my mind to try to help me have a bigger view than what was actually going on at that second.
Yeah.
So I would say that was probably the best advice.
Yeah. Such a good description, Jean, because I feel like parenting is that one area of our life where we do become so consumed by it that it is hard. You hear, you know, oh, enjoy it, it goes by fast, but you're just consumed by getting the kids to bed and, you know, up the next day and fed, that it's hard to see beyond that or in the midst of it.
Were you given better advice?
Actually, some of my favorite advice was considering your own childhood. To look back, and what are two things your parents did really well? And so I sat with that and I did some treasure hunting. What do I feel like my parents did really well for me and my family? And then identify one or two things that they didn't do well, or that you know you don't want to bring into your parenting. And it was a simple exercise, but I will say, and it was nothing to like, my parents were good or my parents were bad. That wasn't the point of it. The point was, what do you know you want to continue on? And what do you know, that stops with this generation? Like this, you know, and for me, you know, that was as simple as my mom. One of the things she did really well was bringing me along to play with her. I grew up on a farm and my mom worked a lot. Farmers work a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that's your whole environment. However, she was a master at bringing me along. I remember bringing my little baby dolls into the kitchen and she would be baking or making the meal that night. I felt fully engaged with my mom because I was invited into her world and she would babysit my baby dolls for me.
Aww,
so I
precious.
Could go off and I came back. And now looking back as an adult, I thought, wow, she was a master at making me feel like I was very involved in her life and relationship. But as a mom that had a meal to get on the table for a big family, she found a way to do that in the rhythm of her life, really. So that was one of the treasures I've hoped to always bring into my parenting. One of the things that I said, okay, this stops, is just probably communication was the hardest thing for my family. And it was mostly a lack of communication. So being able to identify that and say, no, you know, our family is going to communicate things. And I could just be intentional and recognizing I probably don't have the skill set I fully needed, but that I could certainly figure out how to be a better communicator helped me to be more intentional with my own family. And so that was a simple parenting advice, but it had served me really well.
Yeah, that's wonderful. As I have gotten to know you over the years, that's one thing I would say is a skill of yours is communication.
Yeah.
Could have been birthed in that I don't want to carry this on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it really is who we are, right, Jean? When we talk about parenting, it's that extension, again, of we talk about that in the introduction. How is God loving us and leading us? Parenting is just one of the roles we have,
correct? It shouldn't be our narrative of who we totally are.
Yes.
Our identity can't be in parenting. It can only be in who God created us to be.
Yeah. So very good. Well, who might have been a role model for you, Jean, in parenting?
Ooh, another tricky question. Role models. My parents were good parents. They were fine, but I was never one of those people who thought I'm going to parent this way because that's the way my parents did it. I don't think that's a good enough reason. And we'll talk more about that in future weeks to decide how I'm going to parent. Honestly, I think it wasn't a role model for parenting, interestingly enough, but having a support system around for me to develop who I was, to learn my identity, just helped me be a better parent. I wasn't trying to live through my children or get my affirmation through them. Just getting to know myself through the support of loving friends in my church was the thing I think mold me into who I am as a parent and as a person.
Yeah, I love that. I think of the same. I think I was drawn to another older woman actually in my life. And what I most, and it probably goes down that vein of communication we just talked about, but she loved so well, always felt welcomed in her home. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, those people in your life that you know you're loved. And that's so important for our kids, like too, and in parenting. So anyway, this woman definitely loved. And when I would go for her, ask her advice ever, she was maybe blunt is the right word or direct. She just said it how it was. And she gave me the freedom to just probably find my voice in ways. But I remember asking her, you know, well, what do I tell Natalie? You know that question when your kids are little
Natalie's your daughter.
Then Natalie's my daughter. Thank you, Jean. You know, when your kids are little, you're always like in your head, like, how much do I say or how do I say it? And she would just naturally say, well, you tell her the truth. You know, you just tell her. And I was like, oh.
And it doesn't have to be that hard.
It doesn't. And I found kids, and I've obviously talked to many kids over the years, they kind of accept at face value what you've told them. And if they need more information, they'll ask for it. And so I think that really helped me just to maybe be also just simple and to say what I needed to say and let the child bring it up if I needed to continue the topic, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But that was really helpful to me.
Yeah, it sounds very valuable. You know, I was remembering when I was a young mom reading that passage from the New Testament where it was talking about encouraging older women to help the younger women to know how to love their husbands and love their kids and all those things. And I remember reading that, and I was in my mid to late 20s, and I became very disappointed and disillusioned that I didn't have any older women in my life to teach me those things. We were part of a very small mission church, and I was one of the older people.
In your 20s.
Yes. And so I can remember saying, God, send me some older women to help me learn these things. And that has happened throughout my life. But I think what really happened was I kind of made a conscious decision, responding to an invitation from God to become that for future people. And so for the past probably 20 years, and I'm 61 now, just because I didn't mention that, but I have been purposefully pouring into young moms, and not to tell them they're doing something wrong and not to instruct them like a teacher situation, but just as somebody who loves them, who can tell them you're doing a great job, to come alongside them and support them. Even though I don't feel like I really had that, that's made me want to do that for other people. Again, another reason for doing this podcast.
Right, right. And we're not disqualified, whatever age we are, as you said. I can also think of another young mom in our church right now that she is one of the best encouragers, because we all have that inner critic voice, and it definitely pops up so often in parenting. And I feel like we are, in general, you can tell me what you think, Jean, but I think in general, most of us feel like we just don't do enough, or we haven't quite done it right.
Oh my, yes.
Yeah. And it's like we really need that to be loved and led.
And so with all of these things kind of background and just kind of percolating in our spirits and our mind, and these are the kinds of things Becky and I think about in our work, in our churches, with young people, with children, with families. This time of year, we thought we'll put all that stuff and all that experience and all those ideas and all those questions and invitations into our topic for specifically today is back to school. Now, I know some of your families have already started school. Some of you are yet to do that. But in all of that, that is back to school, I think that there's so many emotions tied up with it. Sometimes your kids might feel anxious, or they might feel excited, or they might feel scared to death about it. You as a parent, you might feel like you can't wait for school to start to get a little bit of a break from your kids. Those of you who are homeschooling, you might feel like, oh my goodness, how do I prepare to get the curriculum all set and lesson plans done? For those of you who are working outside the home, you're thinking, how can I do all of this at the same time? So kind of throwing all those questions and all those thoughts together, this rhythm of life, this back to school time of year, one encouragement is it comes every year. So even if your kids have already started school, or if you're a teacher, you've already started school, you might want to remember this podcast, these ideas for next year or the year after that. But it seems like as soon as you have children, your life revolves around the school year and that schedule. If you believe commercials and even news, the thing that is overwhelmingly thrown at us is you've got to buy these certain clothes. That's what getting ready for school means. Buy these clothes, get these school supplies. And I just want to pose the question, what if there was more to getting your kids ready for school than just making sure they're well-dressed and well-fed. I've been thinking about helping our kids prepare for school spiritually. It's so easy to make our lives in boxes. Here's my church box. Here's my school box. Here's my my free time box. Whatever it is, that we just really make our lives very disjointed. And I think when it's back to school, my experience has been, because this is where this thought has come from, is I just didn't do a good enough job, not as a guilt trip for myself, not a shame, but I didn't do a good enough job preparing my kids for school spiritually. It's like I didn't expect them or help them understand that Jesus was still with them. In your work, Becky, with families and kids at your church, do you find that as well?
I think so. I think, as you said, there's a lot of things in society we always feel that we need to keep up with. And there are a lot of natural things. There is, you know, I talked to a parent yesterday who had been to 5 stores to find the needed school supplies.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's real.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that is a real situation that a parent had this week, just trying to get their child the natural school supplies they needed for school this year. So I do think it's both the cultural voice, but it is also just the natural parts of parenting and what we have to get ready. However, I think sitting with your question is really important, because I do think also we have invitations in each year of life, like as a parent, where's God been at work in my life, and how's he inviting me? But even with our kids, you know, noticing what are their strengths. Like, I really see you growing in your reading, and all the, you know, that maybe they've done the library reading program all summer and they've gotten their prizes. And that is something to water their areas of growth. Also, boy, you know, there might be some challenge areas or things that are overhanging from last year, and what might be an invitation of how they ended last year. I mean, let's even consider, I may be going off here, but we're all still coming out of COVID, or are we out of COVID? We have, that's very real thing coming. What's that raising?
Oh yeah. Our kids are just coming, and we are as well, to life with potential anxiety that's kind of incapacitating at times. It's centered around the kind of disagreement between having our kids wear masks or not wear masks, which to me is not the point. It's more, what is behind that? Are we helping them to feel secure? Do they feel safe? Is they have the knowledge that God is with them? And parents, I want to tell you, for most children, 90% of the kids, they don't care about wearing a mask. It doesn't bother. The younger the child is, the less it bothers them. It really is more for the older kids and for us as parents that we think our kids are uncomfortable. They get used to anything. So that one's just a free thing. I'm not making a statement for or against them. I'm just letting you know children can put up with a lot more things than adults can. But thinking about ways to prepare your child, maybe for bullying. How are you going to help them through that potential fear? Maybe they were bullied last year or made fun of. How can you help them realize that God is with them and give them a real usable plan that they could do in that situation? What about if their anxiety about going to school is making it harder for them to sleep, or maybe making them more apt to try to escape into screens? There's just so many things that we need to look at back to school time, of how it's affecting our children. And I think that it might be helpful for you as a family to have a conversation about how they feel about school. And you parents, how do you feel about school? I still have lingering emotions at back to school time, even though I have been out of the public school system and out of teaching and out of active parenting with kids in my home for many, many years. And I still have those same feelings of excitement is what it was for me this time of year. And so whatever we can do to help our kids navigate this major change in their lives. And in a couple of weeks, our topic for our podcast is transitions. So we'll talk more about that specifically. But for right now, how you can center them, help them know that you're on their side, that God is with them no matter what. So I'm thinking a conversation or ongoing conversations could be helpful. Bedtime routines are very helpful, not just for young children or school age children, but I would say even for junior high and high school age people, a kind of routine that helps them settle down. It might be you checking in with them before they go to sleep. It might be turning off screens for at least 30 minutes before they're trying to go to sleep. It might be figuring out together if they're a night owl or a morning person and helping them get the rest that they need in an appropriate bedtime. There are so many things that we need to prepare ourselves for in order for us to help our kids prepare for those things. And so our invitation this week really is the invitation to prepare. We do so much better when we're not caught off guard. You know, we think about Jesus, he even needed time to prepare, didn't he? He went off with his Father. He went alone to pray. And oftentimes those were before something big was going to happen. I think especially of the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew the biggest thing ever that was going to be happening. And he went to prepare, to have that time with his Father. And so we don't want to be caught off guard in any way. God is with us. He's for us. He wants us to succeed. He wants to empower us. He wants us to live those lives of joy and peace. I really want to encourage all of us to dial into our kids, dial into ourselves, dial into how God is loving and leading all of us.
Yeah, absolutely, Jean. And what comes to mind too, and there's a simple little book out there called Praying Circles. I believe it's Mark Batterson that's the author. That's a simple read for parents, but not that you need to read the book, but if you want a recommendation. It's made me think of how I've learned to pray over the years. And it's really easy to fall into, you know, noticing everything you want God to do for your child or what their needs are, which God wants to hear those requests. I think it's also important for us to take time to listen and ask God, what do you want to show me about my child? And not only pray our words of request, but listen to what God's words are over their lives. And a simple way I'll do this in my journal is I make a circle in the middle and I put a name in there. So you put your child's name in there and I make like flower petals coming out of the center of that. And I just take that few moments of quiet and just let each petal be an area of their life that surfaces in my mind and heart, invite the Holy Spirit to come in there. And it's been a beautiful way of listening and noticing how God is at work. And also maybe building my own faith and trust. You know, I don't have pages and pages of prayers. It's the simplicity of saying, thank you, God, for this, or, you know, pointing out a need, you know, and another petal. And I just believe God sees all that and hears all that and is speaking into that and has given me words. I'll even ask God for a word. I don't know if you do word of the year. A lot of people think that's cheesy. I found it helpful.
Well, the people who find it cheesy don't do it.
No, they don't need it.
And the people who like it do it. So that's great.
So it can be a great time when you think of your kid, you know, going into seventh grade, you know, Lord. And even certainly by that age, you know, let's pray. Let's ask God together. What's your word for this school year? What's his promise and hope? And that just can be a word that you can come back to. My current word with Natalie, we've talked about her, she's 20, is being purposeful. And so that's a word I weave into all my conversations with her. And just knowing God can even give us specific words that can water our kids all through the year. And it gives them kind of that, like you said, that centered place and that promise and hope.
What I love about that, and this is some advice I wish I had gotten when my children were young, and I would have done this, and I did not. But what I like about that idea is it could be a talking point for your conversation with your child. If the word is purposeful, mm-hmm. then you could say, hey, tell me ways that you felt purposeful today, or what things are you engaging sure. in? Whatever the mm-hmm. word could be, it could be peace. Mm-hmm. Was there a time today that you felt more peaceful than another time? Was there a time you needed peace?
Right.
It would be a wonderful opportunity to connect over what that word is.
Absolutely. So, Jean, is there anything else as we wrap up today that we want to leave our parents with?
Ooh, when you ask it like that, my mind has like so many possibilities. I do want to mention one more, and I don't know if this fits with anything or not, but interestingly, I had a young mom years ago who was asking, she was looking around for parents of children who were like a year or two older than her child. Her child was 4 at the time, so she was looking at parents of like 6-year-olds. And asking those parents what they had done well or not well. And I thought, and I actually said this to her, though I think that's a wonderful thing for you to do, it might not be taking into account your child's personality and their child's personality. And maybe some are slow maturing and some are quick maturing. And I think that might be, it could possibly lead to being a little too comparing. Mm-hmm. I said, what might be a better idea is to find an adult who you appreciate that you think that you want your child to possibly have some of those characteristics, and talk to their parents. So talk to parents of adult children to say, how was it parenting? To have a bigger view.
Yes.
School age parents and teenage parents, parents of teenagers, it's too hard to not fall into comparing your child with somebody else. And so my advice is, don't try to compare your child with somebody else's. Understand that your child's on their own path and somebody else's children is on their own path. Trust the Holy Spirit to give you what you need in order to raise your, not just your child, but to help them become functional adults. That's your real role.
That's awesome. So you are invited to the rhythms of life and to be prepared as you go back to school. We bless you and we look forward to talking with you next week. Bye-bye.